more about our family, visit us online at livingtruth.church.
I know this is like a little different, especially if you're coming in, you're maybe not from Mayflower, or you're going, all right, let's get into worship, let's get in the Word. This is the Word. This is building. This is people caring about how things look, how things are going to be, what's going to be inherited for the next generations, whether this town is going to prosper in the things of God or just be whatever. And so these guys coming here, it's important to me because they're showing that they care. They care what the churches think. They care what happens. And honestly, as this development begins, it's really going to affect the churches here. It's really going to affect the amount of people that are in this community. It's going to affect whether or not we have to leave to go somewhere else, you know, because there's no housing or there's no good grocery store here. There's not a particular business that we want. So this affects everything, and God's concerned about it. God's concerned about this community. And I had this scene in my head. This will kind of tell you, like, just this is kind of funny, but has anybody seen the movie The Patriot? Mel Gibson? I know some of you are afraid to say it because he chopped somebody up with a hatchet, but but they're meeting in the church to decide the course of a nation. And that happened all over those colonial states. That the place of meeting was the church house. And they're meeting in the church house to decide the fate of a nation. And so we're meeting in a church house today, in a business sense, to decide the fate of a community. And you may not even be involved here, but I promise you that if the church just bows out of everything going around and says, keep me in my little safe bubble zone and just leave me alone, we're going to sacrifice a lot of the freedoms that we enjoy and that really we were founded on. And so as business-oriented as this is part of what God is doing and what God is building. So I hope that you're able to, you know, just hang with us in this, because I totally believe that this is a sign of the things that we've been teaching. And I mean, it's awesome to me. Can I get like a little bit weird with you for a second? This will be weird for some people and not for others, but before I moved back to Mayflower, I had three dreams while I was in Florida. And I'm not a guy that has like a lot of dreams, maybe 3, 4, 5 a year that actually mean something that you can actually remember. But part of the dream was that I saw new businesses coming into this city. And I saw new developments. I saw all of these things happening. And in this dream, without going into detail, God showed me that I was going to be a part of helping with that. And that was kind of weird to me, because I'm like, I'm going back to, you know, be a pastor in a church, and how do you tie that in? But as God started showing more and more of what he wanted to do, he showed that the school systems were going to be changing. And, of course, right as we're getting back, you know, they're building, there's new building development coming on. There's a new, entirely new stadium that's going to be built with a turf football field and a new track and a new workout facility, new field house. It's going to be amazing, all that type of stuff. And I believe this is the way that God wants to do things in cities where believers in that city will host the presence of God and will believe for transformation. God has purpose in all of this. God has purpose in uniting the citizens together and uniting the churches together. And I started to see it before I even moved back, just to give you I saw this building sitting here with the name Living Truth Church outside. I saw that before this church ever bought any property, before we changed the name of the church, which I didn't vote on. Before any of that, God revealed that. And I'm going a little, you know, off notes here, whatever, to tell you that the Holy Spirit shows us things to come, just like the Word says. That's true. How many of you like to be able to hear from God, to be able to know what's coming, be able to know what He has planned for your life, to be able to know, okay, God said to move in this direction, or it's time for a job change, or it's time for this, or it's time for that. As we get into talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I want to make sure that at the foundational level, you understand that the greatest gift that the Holy Spirit brings is your ability to hear from God, your ability to recognize that still small voice, your ability to be led into all truth, as the Word says. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. And let me just stop and pray for a second, because I feel like we've done a lot of different stuff in a short amount of time. And I want us to get settled, and we're out of our routine this morning, so I want us to just get settled and pray. God, just release your peace into this room right now. Just allow people's hearts and minds to be still and settled and able to hear exactly what you would like to say to us this morning through your Word. I believe that you're so powerful and you're so relevant to right now where we are, and you have great things planned in the earth. And God, we want to ask you, what do you desire to do inside of us? What do you desire to build inside of us? What new developments do you want to happen internally inside of us that would then result in outward things beginning to happen? God, we just give you liberty this morning to speak into us, to stir us and move us and set us in alignment for what you plan, what you desire. In Jesus' name. And looking at those pictures, I was thinking, like, some of our lives probably look like that, kind of junked up because we just let everything happen at random. But I found it amazing that as Jesus was walking the earth, it's like he had this mission in mind the whole time. The whole time he has this mission in mind. Even when they're asking him to do things, he's saying, it's not time yet. It's not the appointed time yet. And even the Word bears out that at the appointed time, Christ died for us. And so he had this whole mission in mind. It said he endured the cross because of the joy set before him. There were things that he saw, and he had an ability to look forward. And God wants to speak to us. God wants to be involved in your life. Not just here on a Sunday. I mean, every day, God wants to speak to you. A few weeks ago, I mentioned the scripture about how when the Israelites had been led out of Egyptian captivity and they're following Moses during the Exodus process, it said that they had set up a tent. They had a tent set up where Moses would enter the tent to meet with God. And it said that God would speak to Moses face to face. And a cloud would envelop the tent. And God would be there with Moses, and when he came out, his face would glow because he had been meeting with God. And the people said, Moses, go in and hear from God for us and come and tell us lest we die. We don't want to die. We don't want to pay the price to enter into that place to meet with God, because at that time, if you went in, you met with God without the holy requirements being met on your life, it would kill you. But Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies, entered into that place as our high priest, in Hebrews 9 says, once and for all, paying the price for us to be able to boldly come before his throne of grace and obtain mercy. There's an invitation for you to come into that place where you can actually meet with God face to face. And sometimes that seems so out there, so extravagant, and we say, well, Pastor Walt, you hear from God, you hear from God for us, and then come tell us what he says, because we actually don't want to die. But yet the call is exactly that you need to come and die. You need to give your life away. You need to surrender. You need to actually be born again in your spirit so that you can walk in and you can hear from God. In John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, I think he's going to throw it up on the screen. It says that, I assure you, anyone who sneaks over through the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. For a shepherd enters through the gate, The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they recognize his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't recognize his voice. So you were actually designed to be able to recognize the voice of God and receive direction and understanding. And the way that that happens is actually through the Holy Spirit. So before you get into any ideas about spiritual gifts and praying on praying over people and them getting healed or getting words of knowledge and or prophecy or any of the things that you read about in the Bible, there's a lot of people that go, I want that power. No, what you want is you want him. You want God. You want God to be able to have a relationship with you at such a level that you can hear and recognize and follow and obey his voice. That's the key to anything else that you want to see. All ministry happens as overflow of intimacy and time spent with Jesus. You can't go in and spend time with God and know and hear and obey his voice and it not result in some amazing things happening. But you can go after results, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and you can build and have a ministry and not know him. Bible makes that clear. It says there's going to be many people that want to come enter my kingdom, and I'm going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And they're going to say, but we prophesied in your name, we healed many people in your name, we cast out demons in your name. And he's going to say, yeah, but I never knew you. See, he wants to know us. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to be able to hear what he has to say because he's actually concerned about where we're going and what we're doing. And so in John 15, this is what I want to, I've got all these scriptures are from John today. So if you haven't read in the Gospel of John lately, you're going to get some today. Are y'all good? Y'all good? Because it's kind of quiet. I'm not even going to get into all of this, but I've got a lot of stuff that's kind of controversial to tell you because I want us to get this right. And it says that in John 15, verse 12, says, I command you to love each other. Wait, let me see if I got the right. That's the wrong one. Brandon, you're supposed to get the right verse. Verse 12. Said, Jesus is speaking. He says, there's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not be presenting his own ideas. He will be telling you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever he receives from me. All that the Father has is mine. This is what I mean when I say that the Spirit will reveal to you whatever he receives from me. In John 12, Jesus says, I don't speak on my own authority. John 12:49. I don't speak on my own authority, but I only speak what the Father has revealed to me. The Father who has sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. How important is that? A lot of times we think, well, I just got to come up with these ideas and I just got to try to minister to people and lead them in this prayer. I got to try to tell them what the Bible says. No, what you need to do is develop in the place of hearing and obeying God and actually be able to do what Jesus did, which is he said, I only say what I've heard the Father say and I only do what I've seen him do. John 8:38. He says, I speak of what I have seen in the presence of my Father. So you want to know how Jesus was doing all of the things that he was doing. He was actually hearing from heaven, from his heavenly Father, what to speak, release, and do in the earth. He wasn't just doing things on his own will and his own accord, just thinking, oh, this is a good idea. How many people did Jesus walk past that needed healing, needed help? That do you think he prayed for every single person? I'm talking about thousands of people. The crowd that he fed, when he fed the 5,000, not counting women and children, do you think, how many needs do you think were present there that he didn't pray for at the time? but he had a goal, he had a mission, he had a desire that came from God that he was releasing into the earth, and it gave him success, and every time he did pray, they got healed. There's never a time where Jesus prayed and something, you know, it's like, well, that didn't work. No, even when he cursed the fig tree, and they come back, and it says the disciples were astonished that the fig tree died at the word of the Lord. It said that he could do that, and he could actually curse a tree, and it would have to bear fruit or die. They were astonished at that, but he's saying what he's heard the Father say. He's doing what's already been revealed. Is this too deep, or are you getting this? So, how do we hear from God? I'm gonna jump into that. How do we hear from God? The easiest, best, safest way to start hearing from God is to pick up the Bible. Pick it up. Start reading it. A lot of people will ask me, well, I mean, you seem to hear from God. Like, is he audibly speaking to you? No, he's not audibly speaking to me. I wish he would. I've heard him doing that with some people. That seems like a better way. But no, he speaks to me in my spirit, because my spirit is born again in Christ. So he speaks to me in my spirit, and I've developed an ability to hear and know that that's accurate. So the way that started is when I was about 18, I wasn't totally sure I wanted to even go to church anymore, because I thought it'd be better to go to the lake. I was into that at the time, and seemed like a better idea than sitting in a service that was boring. Some of you might be thinking that this morning. I'm not sure. But I thought it might be fitting to give God a chance before I decided to bail. And the way I knew to do that was actually read the Bible. Now, I went to a thing called Awana's. If you weren't in the Baptist church and you didn't have that, I'm sorry, but you got a crown. You got a crown that you put jewels in as you memorized Bible verses. Well, I wanted those jewels, so I memorized whatever verses they had me remember, because I need to get my crown full of jewels. And if you get that one, you get another crown. And then if you get several crowns, it's kind of like being in the military. You get these badges, and you come in with your badges, and you show everybody. And then after you do, I think it was Cubbies, you could go up to Spark. Now, I was a Sparky, and then you got to be a Pioneer. And the Pioneers were real cool, because they had like a bandana, is what I thought it was, you know, around their neck, and had a little tie. Anybody remember this or saw this? I mean, this is like, people are like, whatever, you know. But I was, anyway. I memorized Bible verses, but I knew the Word of God to a degree, because I lived in a Christian home, but I didn't know the God of the Word. You know, there's a difference. You know, you can know the Word of God. I've talked to a lot of atheists, well, not a lot, but probably three or four that I was friends with that actually knew the Word of God better than a lot of Christians, because they wanted to be able to form arguments and talk about how stuff's messed up or whatever, you know. But knowing the God of the Word is a different thing. And knowing Him personally is like the best thing in the world. And it's not about you just coming and saying, well, I want to pray that prayer because I want to get to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. That sounds like a bad thing. It's actually an opportunity to know God, and the byproduct is, yeah, you get to spend eternity with Him. But it's not just about your get-out-of-hell-free card. That's not what it's about at all. In fact, that's so limited that I think it's really boring. And so I started reading the Bible, and I started figuring out that God could actually speak to me. And the way I did it was not what I would suggest, but it was like a Bible roulette. You just flip open. You kind of try to flip to the right-hand side, because you know that's the New Testament. It's a lot easier to read. And, you know, you flip open, you start reading. If it sounds good, you stick with it. If not, you close the Bible and you open it back up, and you hope it lands somewhere that, you know, God is speaking. But as childish and really foolish as that is, God began to speak to me that way. And I remember I would pick up the Bible. I would be really distraught about something going on. I can't imagine what would have been going on when I was 18 years old that would make me distraught, but that seemed to be the case at the time. Maybe, I don't know what it would be, but I would remember picking up the Bible and reading something and just throwing it down. Like, it's like God knows. He knows what's going on. It's like He's speaking to me. Anybody had that happen? where it's like God is speaking to me. And I started understanding what that felt like, what that heard, what that sounded like, how I felt encouraged, how I felt, you know, challenged by the word of God that's coming as I read the Bible. And then I started remembering what that felt like and sounded like and heard like, or, you know, sounded like. And I would go out into work at the hospital and I would start getting promptings, or I'd get a thought that would come inside like, you need to pray for this person. You need to check on this person. You need to tell them it's going to be okay. Just little things like that. And as I started to do that, I was astounded at the results of what actually happened in those moments where I felt like God maybe said something, didn't know if it was me or didn't know if it was God. And then I was like, I'll just give it a shot. I'm not afraid to talk. So I would do that. And then I was amazed at the results. I can remember walking by a lady in a waiting room that looked like she's just sitting in the radiology waiting room. I'm working in radiology at the time. She's sitting there. I walk past her. She's not crying, just nothing. She's just sitting in the waiting room. There's people sitting there all the time. I walk past her, and I go into my office, and something tells me, and it's God, it says, go back to that lady and tell her that you know she's in a really difficult time right now, but God is working things out. He's going to fix it. He's going to take care of it. Don't worry. He said, just go tell her that and then just pray over. And I'm like, I'm probably 19 at the time. And so I go over and I tell her what I feel like. I said, I just feel like to tell you, you know, you're going through something really difficult, but God's got it. He's going to fix it. Don't worry. And so, God, I just pray that you would help her and bless her and keep her and guide her and take her home safe, you know, kind of prayer. And I walk away, go back to my office. It's about 3 months later. I'm working at another facility, and this lady comes up, and she says, oh, are you Blake? I'm like, yeah. Do you work over in the main hospital? I said, yeah, I work over there usually, but I'm over here today. She's like, well, this lady at our church, we've all been trying to get in touch with you. We've written letters, and we couldn't find you or anything. But she said, it's this guy, Blake, and he works in radiology. And she had an appointment at the imaging center. Anyway, so she says, you went and talked to this lady in this waiting room. And she, you know, revisited what I told her. She said, what you didn't know is her husband was, like, I think he was 54. He had a ruptured aortic aneurysm. And the doctors, you know, he came in with massive chest pain and all these problems. And the doctors did a scan. They said it's the worst one they've ever seen. They gave him about a 10 to 15% chance of surviving surgery. And that's the surgical waiting room was full, so they moved her to the radiology waiting room, and that's why she was in there. And about 2 minutes after you said that, the phone inside the waiting room rang, which she was instructed to pick up, and it was a nurse on the other side saying, you know, we just opened your husband up, and we found out that this what we thought was an aneurysm was something else, and it had sealed off on itself, and it was just a really quick repair that was really easy, and he's going to be totally fine. We've actually already closed him up, and we're going to wake him up from anesthesia in a moment in post-op. And that was, you know, supposed to be a lengthy procedure, and so it turned around in a moment. But I'm telling you that to tell you that God wants to do these things in our life. It's not like, okay, Blake's really special and he gets those opportunities and we don't know. It comes from a place of wanting and desiring to, first of all, hear from God. Not to get a cool story or say, oh, well, I prayed and look what happened. No, to be able to understand that God can speak to you, that he loves you, he's concerned about you, that he calls each sheep by name. It's not like he goes, well, let's see what church they go to. Well, let's see what doctrine they have. Let's see. Do you really think we've got it that right? Like, in light of how big and how amazing God is, do you really think that we've, like, figured it out and, like, oh, yeah, we know all of it. Our theology is perfect. You want me to tell you what the perfect theology is Jesus. Look at him. Watch him. Watch what he did. When he prayed, things happened. But the reason things happened is because he could hear from God. I'm going to tell a story, and then I'm going to I'm going to wrap this up and actually give you an opportunity to learn and listen and hear from God today. And I believe God's going to speak to many of us. But this is a story that some of you have already heard, but I've had to tell it a couple of times lately, so I just want to share this with you because I want to put this in perspective of God, yes, is really, really big, and he's the God of the universe, but he's also the God of your home. He's the God of your office. He's the God of this city. I think somebody wrote a song about that. But he wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you how he feels about you, what he thinks about you, what he desires to change. We don't have to be conformed to the patterns of the world anymore, any longer. We can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How are we going to have our minds renewed? We need to hear the truth. And the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He's that gate that we go through to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. So, when I understand God can speak, I decide I've got to start taking what he says seriously, because he may want to tell me all sorts of things. He may want to actually tell me what I need to do in life. At the time, I was a pre-med student at UCA. He may want to change that up. What if he does? What if he wants you to be a pastor? Your salary goes way down. I don't know if you realize that. Surgeon, pastor. I think I'll go with surgeon. I can go on medical mission trips, and that'll count for something. But I couldn't get away from the fact that God was saying, this is what you have to do. I tried to be a worship leader because I thought that was a step in a better direction, because at least I got to play electric guitar all the time. But this is where God would have me. And that's by hearing and obeying, not by just making my own decisions, not by just speaking on my own accord, doing whatever I want. So when I'm 19, because this is before Mallory and I got married, I decide I'm going to get in my car, I'm going to go to Walmart, and I'm going to buy a notebook like this. And I'm going to buy a good pen with the little cushion on it, and I'm going to write down the things that God is speaking to me when I read the Bible. This is my idea, how I'm going to take it seriously. Like, I'm really a good Christian now. I'm going to journal. I've never done this before. So I get back home. It's close to midnight, and I'm going to start this process out. And I open up. It might actually have been this Bible. I think it was. I opened up the Bible like I always do, and I just flip it open. I don't do that anymore, but that's what I was doing. So I just flip it open, and I start reading. While I'm reading, this has nothing to do with what was on the page, but I hear a voice from the Lord tell me, come outside, I want to show you something. I think it's me, right? Because I'm trying to read, like, I'm getting distracted, I need to focus. Like, I'm pretty good at focusing, but at that time I'm thinking, oh, shake it off. So I keep reading, and I hear it again. I want you to come outside with me. There's something I would like to show you. I'm going, ah, why am I thinking that? That's weird. It's weird. It's cold. It's kind of like cold outside. I just have on gym shorts. I'm not going outside. I've got to read. I got to focus. So I'm reading a little bit further, and I hear that again. You need to come outside. I'm going to show you something. So I take a chance. I'm living by myself at the time in the edge of a hay field that's about 40 acres, and there's a big hill on the back side of that field. And I walk outside. Again, it's about midnight, and it's a little bit breezy, a little bit cool, so I'm kind of sitting here like this, and I'm looking around, and the stars are out. It's a super clear night. Everything is beautiful. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I see the stars. That was really good. And I hear that voice again, what do you want? And I'm like, what do I want? You brought me out here. If y'all think I'm crazy and talking to the voices in my head, yeah, I guess I am. So I'm hearing this, and this is my story, right? So I stand there a little bit, and I said, you know, what I want is I want you to increase my faith. I thought, that's a good thing, right? I want you to increase my faith, God, because I know that faith moves things. So I want you to increase my faith. But I don't want to be one of those crazy guys on TV. I don't want you to increase my faith to the degree that I boast about my faith, about having great faith. Oh, I'm God's man of power. You know, that scared me. I did not want to be that. And I said, God, don't increase my faith so I can boast in having great faith. Increase my faith so I can boast in you. And when I said that, y'all go ahead and cast me out now. I saw a vision of a chariot, a horse pulling a chariot out over that hillside above my house. And, you know, which is probably 1,000 yards away. That hill is pretty good ways, but I see this in the clear open sky. I'm seeing this with my eyes. I'm not having a dream. I'm not closing my eyes thinking anything. I'm literally seeing this. And this chariot is moving across the sky, and it gets halfway across the horizon, and it turns into a horse galloping, which was the exact same size as the chariot, which is huge. And I'm trying to figure out if, like, I live near Camp Robinson, if a plane's flying by, like, projecting an image, or, you know, like, there's weird clouds, you know, some kind of weird cloud formation. I'm trying to find excuses for what I'm seeing, but I can't deny I'm seeing this, and it's a perfectly clear night. And I just sit there, and I'm like, yep, I'm either crazy or I've really stumbled onto something here. And I thought, how am I going to tell anybody about this? I have no idea what this even means. This is weird. And I'm laughing, and I'm going, like, this is crazy. Like, I'm seeing visions. I'm a, like, Baptist kid, right? So we don't see visions and stuff that, you know, ended before Jesus came to the earth. That's a joke. But so I'm going, like, this is happening. And I'm like, whoa, this is amazing, but I don't know what it means. And I remember that song, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, coming to take me home. It's like an old song or something. I'm thinking, like, am I going to die? Or, you know, like, is he coming back or what? I'm serious. I'm thinking all this stuff, and I don't have a clue. And I walk back inside, and I walk back to my bed, and this Bible's laying on the bed. I had just finished this page because I forced myself to keep reading. Got my blank notebook there that nothing's written in. And the very first sentence on the next page, when I turn to it, says, some men boast of chariots and horses, but I will boast in the Lord. And then I'm like, I mean, I'm crying because I'm thinking, why would God that created all of this want to speak to some redneck kid in the middle of Mayflower? Why? Why would he do that? And I'm thinking, like, this is a, I don't understand. I'm not worthy. He shouldn't be taking time. He's got other things to be concerned about. But I want to tell you, he's concerned about you. He's got direction for your life. There's things that as you build into the kingdom of God here on earth, there's an eternal reward based on the life that you live in being led by the Holy Spirit. You're investing in eternity now with what you do. Not just good, not like good ideas and good works, but what you're called to do, what you're led to do, the things that the Holy Spirit reveals to you. It's not just about adhering to some formula or something that you've seen somebody else do. It's about getting in the place where you can get still, where you can hear from God, where he can reveal what he wants to do in you. And I'm going to tell you, it starts in a place of hunger. Starts in a place of desiring to find out. He said, he that seeks me with his whole heart will find me. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? Something about he desires to be pursued. He desires these questions. He desires us to go, you know, hey, this is where I'm at. I need help. Help me. Not like, let me get to church on Sunday. No, he's a very present help in time of need. Church is not going to cut it for you. If the only time you hear from God is when you come here, you're going to be defeated all the time because we don't have church every single day. And it doesn't look like a church service at the workplace a lot of times. And it doesn't look like a church service when you go into Walmart. Unless you're with James Worrell. And then it could. So I just want to take some time to pray today. Allow you a chance. You can sit where you're at, you can move around, do whatever you want to do, but they're gonna sing some songs, and we're just gonna have worship for the remainder of service. It's five after. You can hang out as long as you want to. You can, if you got tithes, offerings, that sort of thing to take care of, that you can go ahead and you can put those in the boxes at the back. But why don't we just take some time to ask the Lord to speak to us personally? And if you don't know God, and you go, well, I don't even know God. I don't even feel His presence. How could He speak with me? Take the time to slow down and say, I want to know You, because His Word says, as many as whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. His name is Jesus. Sit there and say, Jesus, like, I want to know You. That's a cool story. I want my own. I want to know You. I want You to lead me. I want to let You be Lord of my life, not just use You to get to heaven. That's like going to get a wife just so you can have a baby. It doesn't really work that well. Like, I just want to have a baby, so give me a baby. And then as soon as the baby's born, all you're concerned about is the baby. How long do you think that marriage is going to work? Oh, He wants you to know Him face to face. And that's what Jesus has paid for, an intimate knowing. It's the Greek word epignosko. It's the same word for Adam knew Eve. It's an intimate knowledge and awareness. So let's just sit in this for a minute. And whatever you need to do, I'm going to just turn it over to the worship team. If you're ready to go, you need to go, that's fine. But if you want to sit in this atmosphere where you can hear from God, I would strongly encourage you to do that. So God, we just pray that right now Your voice would be heard in this place, would be heard in our hearts, would be made known to us, that Your peace would flow, and You'd begin to just stir hearts all over this room, and that only the voice of the Holy Spirit will be heard, no other voices, so there's no distraction. I just pray for just stillness to come over so we can actually hear and commune with You, and You can tell us how You feel about us, how You love us, how You accept us, how You treasure us, how there's not a thing in the world that could separate us from Your love, and that You're radically pursuing Your children. That You would leave 99 sheep to go after one that's lost. God, I pray that revelation would just sink in today, that You're concerned about calling each one by name. We need Your direction. We need Your wisdom. We need Your understanding. We say yes. We say yes. I pray that You would come and speak to us face to face, just like You did Moses. I pray that the cloud of Your glory would fill the temple, would fill this place, and would set us back on course with our first love, so that everything else could flow properly. In Jesus' name.
Thankful for what God is doing in your heart. If you would like to give towards revival being established in our region, or you have a testimony of how your life is being changed, please connect with us at livingtruth.church or send emails to livingtruthar@gmail.com.